God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our epistle reading from 1 Peter and is also connected with today's day, which is Good Shepherd Sunday. Typically during the season of Easter, the church celebrates this fourth Sunday of Easter as Good Shepherd Sunday, in which our stained glass behind me very clearly depicts Jesus leading the sheep. And if I could just ask you for a moment, if given that analogy, where in that stained glass picture would you place yourself? Would you be one of those sheep up near the front? Would you be one of those sheep near the back? Would you be the sheep in Jesus' arms? Or would you say, I'm nowhere near that mountain scene, and I'm lost? Well, I've got some interesting news for you today. As our gospel reading reminds us, especially in verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And no matter where you are in your life, whether you feel like you're being carried by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, following close or following far behind or nowhere near, we have a great deal of comfort here. Our Lord and Savior here reminds us that he is the one who calls us. He's the one who calls us to follow him. He calls us to be with him. And there's a reason why he has to do that calling. Because by ourselves, we are unable to follow him. We would be, all of us, like that one sheep way on the different type of mountain range, going, what Jesus? What shepherd? Where is he? You see, our Lord does give us an example, but we have to remember, we can't always follow that example. He suffered for us through his death and resurrection. When he died on the cross, he died for the forgiveness of all our sins. This was something we could not do, but we needed. We needed to have that forgiveness. We needed to have that restoration of that relationship between us and God. From the moment we were born on sort of on a different mountain range, if I could use my stained glass picture here as an analogy. It is our Lord and Savior who comes to us, who calls us, particularly through the waters of holy baptism, through that gospel message, and says, you are mine. Come, follow me. True, he says, come, follow me, but we cannot follow him to the cross. To the cross where he was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins was something that he alone could do. We cannot. One of the reasons why we could not do that is because of the second point. He committed no sin. We cannot follow him in this aspect because how often do we go through life without sinning? We are actually conceived and born in sin. And throughout our lives, we see our own shortcomings, our own sinfulness constantly coming up. In order for our death to be efficacious from God's point of view, it had to be someone who was without sin, without any blemish, someone who was perfect. Now, true, there are many people in today's world who think they are perfect, but deep down inside, none of us are perfect. Jesus bore the penalty for our sins through his death on the cross. Because of that, and his resurrection showing that, yes, God the Father accepted this sacrifice on our behalf, those who believe and trust in him have this forgiveness of sin. God now looks at us through the perfect work of Jesus Christ for those who believe and trust in that perfect work and saying, you are now perfect. You are now sons and daughters of Christ. But please keep in mind that just because we believe and trust in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we're perfect. We still have fallen short of his glory. Basically, I'm trying to get to the next point, which is, he is the shepherd. He is the one who is perfect. He is the one who laid down his life for the sinners. He is the one who suffered on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could be with our Heavenly Father in eternal life. Sheep can never become shepherds. The laws of physics must apply even for our analogy. Sheep have 4 feet. The shepherd has 2. And as sheep, we have to realize we are the 4-footed kind. So our Lord and Savior, as Peter reminds us, is an example that we can follow, but only after we have been changed. We follow Him and His work redeems us, but only after we have been changed. I alluded to this before as verse 21 reminds us, we were called. We were called by that gospel message, called to a new life. We are a new creature, as we talk about through the waters of holy baptism. We now say that those who are baptized into Christ now put on Christ, put on that perfection. Not that we now become perfect. No, we now wear the perfection of Jesus Christ. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit works that faith within us. And now we can follow Him only because He has redeemed us and empowers us. We can follow Him, as He says, in His humility. We have to remember, in His humility, God, being holy and perfect, took on flesh and blood and dwelt among us. In His humility, He went to the cross to suffer pain and torment and to ultimately die because we could not redeem ourselves. And He says to those sheep of His who are saying, I'm following you, Jesus, I want you to practice that humility. But in our own lives, how fast do we practice that humility? True, there may be some times in our lives we can be a little bit humble. But if it really gets down to it, our thoughts do betray us. Our flesh impels us to sinful pride. We don't want to be humble. We'd rather do things our way and take pride in ownership, whereas God calls us to a service in Him through humility. Then the next part of this is God calls us to follow Him in patience. Now, true, at times we can be patient, and we can be patient to those people who are patient with us. But what about those people who do us wrong? How fast are we to practice patience? How fast does our anger come up when someone does wrong us? Especially someone who we are in a close relationship, like someone who we love. After many years of being in a relationship, we sometimes take those relationships for granted, and when someone does something wrong, we may lash out in anger. God calls us to say, let's have some patience here. Just as He had patience with each and every one of us. Just remember, there was a reason why He had to die on the cross. We had sinned. We have fallen short of His glory. We deserved His death and wrath. But God doesn't do that for us. Instead, He looks at us with those patient, loving, caring eyes and says, here's my love, here's my forgiveness, even though we deserve wrath. Now, let me just sort of add into here one particular point about sheep, since we're using this analogy. Having grown up in Chicago, I will admit I was not around sheep very often. But fortunately, I was blessed during my internship to be placed in rural Iowa, and there was a farmer who raised sheep and learned some very interesting lessons about sheep. One is you always had to be looking out for them. If there was a little hole in the fence that the sheep thought they could squeeze through, they were going to, even if it was an impossibility. And in the process of squeezing through that fence, if they killed themselves, it didn't matter. They saw the hole. They were going for it. So the owner or the shepherd had to always look out after the sheep and have a great deal of patience. If you didn't have patience, you didn't want to raise sheep because they would try your patience. So it is with our human interactions with others. How many times do we lose our anger? How many times do we lose patience with other people? But yet, when we sin, when we fall short of glory of God, when we do something wrong against others, do not we ask for patience and kindness? Our Lord and Savior says, you can follow Him in patience, but let me give you that strength. We can also follow Him in a self-sacrificing love. Yes, He died on the cross. He didn't need to die. He died for us. He wanted to give us His life so that we could be with Him in heaven above. But our sinful human nature kicks in again and says, no, wait a minute, I'd rather be selfish. I'd rather have things done my way. I'd rather spend my time, my money, and my talents doing things for me instead of for my family, instead of for my community, instead of for my nation. Our human pride kicks in and says, no, I'd rather be selfish with the gifts and abilities and talents that God has given me, instead of saying to a world who is still hurting, a world still in need, saying, how may I serve? How can I help? How can I give back to a community that has given to me? We follow him in a self-sacrificing love, even though our sinful flesh says, I'd rather be selfish. We follow him in forgiveness, reminding ourselves that he has first forgiven us. But when someone does something wrong against us, are we quick to forgive? Or do we hang on, waiting for vengeance? Do we hang on, building with frustration? Do we hang on, waiting for some justice to be done? Or do we say, Lord, help me to forgive? Our sinful human nature is strong. Again, as we go back to that stained glass picture, you may have thought at one time you were right there next to Jesus. But maybe after this segment of the sermon, you might be thinking, I'm on a different hill. I'm nowhere near the love, the kindness, the humility, the patience, the self-sacrificing and forgiveness that God is calling me. And if those thoughts have been entering your mind, hang on to them for just a little bit of moment, because now I want to change that thought. You see, our Lord and Savior does know where we are. He is the one out of his love and forgiveness that comes into our lives and says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will lift you up. I will take care of you. He has called us by the gospel. And if that wasn't enough, he says, I'm sending you my Holy Spirit. And if that isn't enough, he says, I will continue to strengthen you through that Spirit. You see, we have to remember that following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is not a moral decision upon our part, opposed to what Christ has done. No, the Holy Spirit works that within our lives and now calls us to practice that love, that humility, that patience, that self-sacrifice, that forgiveness. Our sinful nature is strong, and it is rebelling, and it's saying, no, I'd rather do things my way. And so God has to go out of his way to pick us up, to carry us, to bring us back into the fold. If you'd ask me about where I would consider myself in that stained glass picture, I always like to consider myself as the one who needs to be carried. Because my sinful nature would carry me to a different mountain. I need to be carried by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every time when we come and we gather for worship, and as we say in the liturgy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, we are now resting in the comfort of his arms, with his love and his forgiveness. He's the one who settles our fears. He is the one who guides us, who nurtures us, and takes care of us. He's the one who says, I have conquered sin, death, and the devil so that you may have life. Please note that following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean we have to be a marathon runner. Following Jesus means we have to understand his love and his forgiveness, though. Many people in today's world are sort of asking themselves, you know, what is sort of that purpose in life? Where am I going? What's the next step? Is there anything more? What we really need to ask ourselves on this fourth Sunday of Easter as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday is we need to ask ourselves, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your strength. I need your Spirit. After our message, after the offering, we'll be singing something called the Offertory. And in that offertory, it's picking up the words of a psalm. And the psalmist writes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The psalmist here reminds us that, yes, we need that clean heart. We need that strength that comes from God and God alone. Now, the next line may sound a little strange. He says, Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Will there ever come a time and the point where God sort of withholds His love and withholds His forgiveness? The answer is no. It's always there, but the psalmist knows that our human nature is strong. The psalmist knows that we like to be rebellious. And actually, in one essence, if I can use the analogy again of us being in the arms of Jesus, Satan comes by and says to that little lamb being held in Jesus' arms, "Jump! The grass is greener over here." Or, "Jump! There's more meaning in life over there." You see, no one can pluck us from the shepherd's hands. But unfortunately, sheep can jump. We can leap. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, using today's analogy, says, "Don't leap. Stay with me." That's what it means to follow the Good Shepherd. Not that we do a great job in keeping up with Jesus. We can't. But we stay with Him. Even though the world is tempting us to go a different direction and a different path, we stay with Him. Because as our gospel reading ends, the purpose of why Jesus came, that last verse in chapter 10 of Gospel of John, the 10th verse, the last section says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That is the purpose on why Jesus died and He rose again. That is the purpose why He has called us, so that we can have life, and not just a little life, but have it to the full in being with Him in eternal life. Satan comes by, as the first part of that verse reminds us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So as we take a look at our lives, if we consider ourselves fallen little lambs that need that strength and encouragement, then allow the Savior to pick you up. Allow the Savior to hold you in His arms. Allow Him to love and to forgive you, and to stay in His abiding grace. We need that nourishment and that encouragement each and every day of our lives. And that's why the church remembers Good Shepherd Sunday. It is a beautiful analogy. And the people who way before us, members here at Trinity, in wanting to give you a picture immediately as you entered the sanctuary of what it's like to be a Christian, chose the stained glass and saying, "Guess what? Here it is. In the arms of Jesus, staying with Him in His grace and His mercy. In His name, amen." Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.